The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is Gilbert Godfrey, and I'm here with Frank Santopadre, and this is Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions. On our last Obsessions, we were talking to Donnie Dunnigan from Son of Frankenstein with Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi, and the voice of Bambi. Well, he had so much to talk about, this is part two.
Did you interact much with Lionel Atwill, Donnie?
Yes. Let me share something interesting about that with you. I think the production was slowed down. Oh, I asked about this 15 years ago in Los Angeles, and some of the old pros agreed with me. I think the production of Son of Frankenstein was slowed down by weeks because of this. The rumor was at the time that the studio tried to leverage him into a low-dollar contract, and Boris Karloff and Basil Rathbone fought against it and in support of him.
Wow.
And finally, that calmed down, and he was paid fairly. And I think the production was slowed down because they kept adding his adding him to other scenes. He was so good. He was so naturally good at what they wanted. They kept modifying the script.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, updating it or modifying it or editing it. Yeah, giving him a bigger role.
Yeah, he was marvelous in that. And I remember vividly this. He was one of the very first men I ever saw deliberately get up from the table when ladies came around. Okay, on the studio, and when my mom came around, he would stand up and move the chair. And that really made an impression on me then and now. I do that now for everybody. But that was one of the, him, using Mad English now, him and Basil Rathbone would do that.
Wow.
But he did that like a very natural cultural thing and made a heck of an impression on me.
Now, when you were working around these people, Lugosi, Karloff,
Rathbone,
Atwill, did you have any idea about what big people these were?
I didn't have a clue.
Amazing.
Well, let me tell you, sir, I didn't have a clue. All I know is that my mom and dad are no longer poor, and my mother had some dresses she never had before. Now, this sounds very basic to folks today. This is in my head, big time. My mom had some dresses she never had before. She was a blonde, blue-eyed lady that I lost too young in life. I don't want to talk about that. We are living civilized now. We have an apartment for our own now. My dad finally had a driver's license, so he wasn't worried about the police everywhere. And the life is, may I use a corny phrase?
Sure.
Life is good. And that's all I knew. And my mom fell in love with the Salvation Army efforts. And Basil Rathbone and Boris Karloff both, in the movie Tower of London, took some breaks from time to time and helped my mom do some special things with the Salvation Army.
How about that?
Jeez.
And I've been on the board of Salvation Armies of many times ever since. those things made a heck of an impression on me.
That's great. Well, okay, now, Donnie, now tell us about meeting Uncle Walt and becoming eventually becoming the voice of Bambi.
Okay.
How the hell did that happen?
That's pretty funny. We have a little house now in a place called Westwood, California.
Sure. Still there, right.
By UCLA, I think.
Yep, somewhere. Westwood.
And I haven't been out there since, but I think that's what it was. Anyway, and now we're doing pretty good. I've been in six or seven films in the minor little kid parts, you know. And now, I told this to the Disney executives, and they found out I was still alive about 15 years ago, and nobody got mad at me, so I guess I can be open about this. I had never seen anything from Disney. I didn't know Disney from peanut butter, okay? And I don't think my mom did either.
Because you didn't go to the movies as a family, right? We established that, yeah.
No, I lost. Gentlemen, let me share something with you. Seven movies between age 4 and a half, and the start of the Disney work, which is about age, just turned 6, I think, 5 and a half or 6, I lost my childhood. I didn't know what a circus was. Work, rehearsal, appearances, work. And I kind of thought that was normal for children. I did not go to school until age 7. And Mr. Disney was responsible for that. The tutor, work. Now we're in the, I'm in the kitchen, and I remember this well, in the kitchen in Westwood, California, in our first little house. My mom was doing something proper, and the phone rang on the wall. I had a phone on the wall, and not like all the stuff we have today. And she took the call, and I remember hearing the word Disney. I knew that had something to do with the movies. I'm probably eating ice cream or some dumb thing there. And she got this offer from Mr. Disney personally to go to the studio in the next couple of days to see about doing some work for Disney, okay? She immediately called our agent. Our agent, I didn't like him much in the very beginning. He was always very cross, very quick with my mother. I boxed later in my life. I kind of wish then I had boxed, I'd have punched him. Very rude to my mother most of the time. Probably natural. Maybe not willful, but his conduct style was this boom, 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 we're rude. Called this agent guy. I remember his name. I'm not going to share it. It'd be bad taste. Family may still be around. And he came right away. I'm very impressed with this. Sit down in the living room with my mom. My mom gave him a briefing on what Mr. Disney had said. He went bananas. Oh, no, you can't do that. He'll spoil his career. I'm working on a Western thing, blah, blah, blah. Where are you? And my mom said, no, we want to do that. Then he, like, he's giving my mother orders what to do.
Uh-huh.
I'm sitting there. I fired his butt.
Okay.
Yeah, it made there was a newspaper in those days called Variety or something.
Yep,
yeah.
Still around.
Is that so? Oh, my gosh.
Sure.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. You fired the agent at the age of 6 and a half.
I think I was just barely 6.
Barely 6, okay. Okay.
But I understood what fired was. I'd heard that word around. I don't know what that was. And mind you, guys, without overdoing this with you, I was reading newspapers at 5, and I probably was 6, barely 6, going on 16, and I hope decently, but I fired him, and he went bananas. Oh, you can't do that, you can't do that. I remember my mother, who probably wanted him gone anyway, turning and said, yes, he can. I remember her saying this. He's paying your whatever it was. So he got up in a huff, took his papers off his lap. We never saw him again. Never saw him again. When we got to the studio a few days later, Mr. Disney came out in the parking lot and greeted us. And I didn't know him from peanut butter. And he didn't look like some of the other studio executives. He looked like he was one of the working guys. And everybody treated him with real natural respect. He came out to greet us at the parking lot. And that afternoon, when he discovered from somebody, not from me, that I had dismissed this agent, he must have known this agent. He was thrilled about it. And he took us around, introduced us around. I had the impression, I mind you, I got a little bit of a mature, just turned 6, maybe 5 and a half or 6, whatever it was. And I can remember vividly that my impression was that nobody in that wonderful studio that we had just, I think it was still under construction. Some of it was.
Wow.
Very new buildings. Then in Burbank, California.
Sure.
I don't think some of the adults there had seen a child since birth. Okay. I had to be the first child aboard, and that's that lot. And so Disney took us and introduced us to some people.
And you started as a facial model for Bambi first, before
yeah.
Yeah.
Like you had to look disgusted, I heard.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Bambi was disgusted that I think his mother kissed him or something, and he's embarrassed or whatever.
Well, how did you guys must have worked for the KGB. How did you find
no,
out?
No, we just know a lot, Don.
Well, I'm going to get that FBI agent back here. You guys are KGB agents or something. So, yeah, that's true. They had me sitting on a stool in a semicircle of art fellows, artists, wonderful people. And let me give you an aside here. Years later, I heard somebody in the business making a couple snide remarks about Mr. Disney must have been one of these real tough old mean executive guys. I went down that guy's lunch, okay? Mr. Disney was a leader. I mean, you could tell it easy. He was super respected. And look at the people he kept on his payroll during the Depression for many, many years afterwards, okay? And when that work in the studios was kind of like musical chairs. Anyway, Mr. Disney had all these people sitting in a semicircle around me. I'm on a stool. And they would tell me, this is before the voice deal. They said, Donnie, look left, look right, look right, look afraid, look up, look down. And my eyes were a bit larger than a lot of children in those days, maybe now. And I'd look up, look afraid. They say, hold it. So I'd hold it. And I thought these guys had a million pencils. They're all drawing, 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 drawing. Then they would tell me to relax. Somebody would give me a soda pop or something, and they would do it again. One day, and on your right on your excellent question from your KGB background. one day, the guy said, for the very first time, I'm having the time of my life. My family, my mom and dad had took my earnings and brought all the family out of Memphis, Tennessee, and Texas. They're all in California now, okay? So we're doing good with all this money. Anyway, some guy said, one of these artists said, Donnie, look like something terrible has happened to you. I don't remember looking angry about anything. I'm having a great time, right? So I put on some kind of face like you're supposed to be, Ben. That didn't work. No, you look like you're really mad about something. I tried that. That didn't work. Finally, some guy with a powerful intellect said, Donnie, has somebody given you some medicine or a spanking or something that's really bad, lady? Medicine. Ooh. My mom had given me something called castor oil a few days before.
Sure.
We're traveling a lot or something, you know. It was awful stuff. See? And I was like, my mom had given me castor oil. It was terrible stuff. Then another guy said, Donnie, you just had two of those doses for lunch. What do you think? I went, oh! I put on this terrible face. Another guy said, hold it. So I held this terrible face. They drew that. And if you look at the early scenes in that wonderful Disney film, Bambi, where Bambi had done something silly, feeling sorry for himself, and he's in the thicket.
Yeah. Bushing,
and he's all spread out, and he's looking sorry for himself, right? And the Feline, the little girl deer, sticks her head through and gives him a little deer kiss on the cheek.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes that terrible face. Mm. When I share this with orphan children, and orphanages would love to do today, or any other children, I say, all right, you see that film that I shot again? That's a castor oil kiss scene.
You know, it's funny. When I was recording Aladdin, they actually had cameras on us as we were doing our lines to catch all our faces on camera.
Yep. Well, they still do it that way. So Donnie, you eventually Uncle Walt persuaded you to become the voice as well, of the character, and the rest is history. But this is the fascinating thing: your film career ended at the age of 6 and a half.
Yeah, Pearl Harbor had something to do with that. Mr. Disney, I shared this with Disney executives, which are much younger than me, of course. And I think even back in the archives, looked this up. I think Mr. Disney, the rumor at the time was he wanted to release it early before, right before Christmas of 41, right?
Yeah.
What happened in 41? Bang, bang, Pearl Harbor.
Sure.
Right? He put it off very prudently, and everybody, the country was, no movie has ever been made realistically of what the country was like then. I was very aware of what the country was like. We were zombies. We locked up, okay? I mean, people that were cheerful walked around like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Mr. Disney put the film off until the spring of 42, right? And but I remember it was going to be released around Christmas of 41, right? And when we finally had the release of it, I was there. I think it was up in one of the valleys north of Los Angeles, or San Fernando Valley or somewhere up there.
Okay.
And they had all these searchlights in the sky. I'd never seen that before. Okay? Reaching up into the sky like a anti-aircraft searchlight or something. And I this is really interesting, gentlemen. At that premiere, lots of special guests and lots of children were invited, maybe from some orphanage or something nearby, I don't know, lots of children and with adult escorts. I can remember vividly mothers putting their hands over the eyes of children when my mother was shot on camera.
Wow.
And again, 16 minutes later, when Bambi was shot on camera. Now, pick up on this. I remember vividly being at the studio before Pearl Harbor, and when the closed kind of private showing to the artist and Mr. Disney of what was going to be the final film, where the original artwork was like the book. They had Bambi's mother shot on camera, bullet hole, blood, bang down. Okay, that was in the original, and same with Bambi, bullet hole, bang down. Mr. Disney, I was in that room when this happened. Mr. Disney coached the artist and the film editors, I guess they're called, to take that out. Take that out.
Wow.
I don't want that. World War II is going on. The children in Europe, everybody's being killed all over the world. We don't need to show that kind of violence. And I don't remember the word violence being used, but I remember him very graciously but strongly telling him, cut that out. So, had he not done that, okay, what we see at Bambi today would have had bang bullet hole showing on camera.
Amazing.
Now, very sensitive to those things.
Now, if you remember any of it, can you do a line from Bambi as Bambi right now?
Oh my God. Let me get out of my Marine Corps voice here with you. hold on a second. Let's see. Toward the end of the film, right before the forest fire. Mother, what's a meadow?
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh, excellent.
Incredible.
Excellent.
Incredible that you still remember the dialogue, Donnie.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah. Now your career ended, your acting career ended at 6 and a half. We don't have to go into the details, but what's fascinating is you wound up in the Marines at the age of 18.
Huh.
And you became the youngest drill instructor. What?
Marine Corps history.
Yeah, in Marine Corps history. And you kept this secret for years.
Yeah, you didn't want to be drill instructor Bambi.
I get asked this. That question is put better than most of the time I hear. I'm using bad English. I did not think about it a lot. It wasn't that I was excluding it willfully with cognition. I did not think about those things well. I had finished high school very early. I had a great job. I thought about being I'm a Golden Gloves boxer. I thought about doing boxing. I wanted to go to college to be a doctor in the worst way. I have no money. I'm surviving. I'm in a boarding house at age 16, 17, supporting myself, okay? And I get a draft notice at 18, 18 and a half, to go down to the Korean War, stupid Korean War is going on, to go to the down to the draft board on a Saturday morning. I'll never forget vividly. I thought I'd be drafted that day. I took my little bag with some clothes in it, went down the draft board. It turned out to be just for physical, but I didn't know any better. Okay, I'm standing in line in this huge room with 40 or 50 guys, different lines, with just a towel around us, mostly, in line to get up to a table where these fellows in white coats were asking us, can you fog a mirror? Okay, you're in, you know, during the draft. Out of the corner in the big room came a tree, 6'3" tree in dress blue uniform. Now, I didn't know anything about the services. This makes me a hypocrite. I never went to movies. It costs money. I'm surviving. This guy was 6'3", easy, in Marine Corps dress blue uniform, a gunnery sergeant, World War II type. Okay? And this is a late December 1952. And here he comes walking along the side of the wall. And you can tell if somebody's trying to avoid observation, right? He's hugging the wall, walking alongside the wall over there, comes up from behind me in the line, leans over my shoulder, and I'm 6 foot. He's much taller than me. Looks down at me and says, and he mispronounced my name. He says, are you Dudigan? You know, at least I had the presence to say, I look at this guy, my gosh. Yes, sir. He said, don't you box and play ball somewhere? I said, I box. He said, son, the Marine Corps has got boxing teams and football teams, and you get paid. Now, think about this for a minute. I'm doing all this stuff for free. I'm not getting paid for boxing.
Sure, right, of course.
Paid. Marine Corps, I bet that I've got barracks and stuff. Oh, my gosh, get paid. 10 minutes later, I'm upstairs with this guy. He snuck me out of there. Got my clothes off some hook somewhere. 10 minutes later, I'm in front of some captain. I didn't know ranks from peanut butter. And my hand in the air, I'm swearing in the Marine Corps.
There you go.
And before we forget, you worked with Shemp of the Three Stooges.
Do you remember that at all?
Say again, no.
You worked with, in a movie called Meet the Chump. He's going backward. He's jumping.
Oh, yeah.
You worked with one of the Three Stooges, Shemp.
Yeah. I get asked that question once in a while, sir. The honesty is I don't remember him.
There you go.
Oh,
he didn't make
geez.
An impression on you. But I do want to point out, Donnie, this is important. You were highly decorated. You won, what, a Bronze Star, 3 Purple Hearts in your time in the military?
Yeah, and some other things. I don't like to talk about the valor stuff because it's all for killing.
Well,
okay? I don't. Please forgive me.
Sure.
I don't
like to. Well, can you tell us how many times you were shot?
Two and a half times.
Wow.
Jeez.
Wow.
The other half time, I tried to decline that one because it was just a grazing wound. A young corpsman and fixed it in about 10 minutes. I tried to decline it, and later I went ahead and took it because I got hit with frags from a hand grenade. So I figured, well, that's legitimate. I'll take it.
And the whole time you were in the military, you never told anybody, you never told any of your fellow officers that you had this career, that you were the voice of Bambi.
Only at the very end, 2 weeks before, a general and I decided to retire. And a very good friend of mine. I'll get to you in a second. But let me go back real quick to your other question just for a second. I did not talk about those movies because I didn't think about it a lot. I went another career. Now I'm in the Marine Corps. They sent me from boot camp graduation, 30 minutes after graduation, to Valhalla, to Marine Corps, the school for drill instructors. No PFC had ever been sent to drill instructor school. The staff there almost had a cardiac arrest. Okay? And a general and a captain said, well, he's an experiment. That name stuck with me for a while. I got teased by mercy being the experiment, PFC drill instructor. Got promoted real fast, probably faster than I deserve. Had a wonderful career in the Marine Corps. I never talked about it, gentlemen, because I did not think about it often until... And I did not. You're right.
And can you tell us?
When I'm a commander and a drill instructor as a sergeant, later as a commander at boot camp, and one of the company commanders and battalions, when Bambi would come up, they're going to release Bambi, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm so proud of that. But people had, the guys had not seen Bambi, had not been released. I asked a couple of them, what do you remember about Bambi? Well, they heard, oh, that's some crazy movie that Disney had of some crazy deer. Well, wait a minute. I don't want these drill instructors or these captains or lieutenants working for me. I'm a commander now, right? Dear Mom, guess what? I'm at boot camp, right? My commanding officer at boot camp is Major Bambi.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Now, also, before we brought up, you worked with Margaret Hamilton, the Wicked Witch.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember anything about her?
Delightful lady.
That's nice.
Delightful lady. I took us to lunch at least once that I remember. Very courteous lady. Kind of set an example for how other people were. I think she gave me a student book. Remind me, I'm not going to school. I think she gave, several people did. I think she gave me a book. Golly, what was it? A pictorial book on animals.
Jeez. Well, she was very good with children.
So
Margaret Hamilton.
So the Wicked Witch of the West was really a nice woman.
Yes, she was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Donnie, what's your life like today? And you got a birthday coming up, don't you?
Ah, couple weeks, 85.
85.
Jeez.
You sound about 45, my friend.
Well, one of those jerks that's trying to stay 65 forever. Push-ups, pull-ups, you know.
And it's so, you did two movies with both Boris Karloff and Basil Rathbone.
And you worked with Disney. Amazing.
Yes.
And Shemp and the Wicked Witch.
You covered it. You covered it. How often do you do interviews like this, Donnie? How often do people come calling to ask you about the past?
This is my first radio interview, television on the phone, in over a year.
Okay.
15 years ago, when Disney found out I was still alive, there was a bunch of them in sequence. I get about two invitations a year to go do a radio talk show or a local ABC, NBC, mostly ABC, a little local talk show, with the revenue going to charity, which I love to death. This is my first one on the phone in at least a year. Have a couple. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say. Go ahead. Finish up.
But I get asked. Now that it's all over the place, okay, I get asked to go do things for little schools, which I love to do, to children in hospital wings. I love to do that. Orphanages, Salvation Army, raising money for homeless. And gentlemen, let me share this with you. About 3 years ago, I told Disney, we were there visiting as their guests. They have us out there every other year. Wonderful people, okay, at Burbank. I told some wonderful executives at Disney when they asked me about this that I did not talk about it all those years because I didn't think about it a lot. Okay, I never seldom thought about those movies. I don't have an ego for that kind of business. Until recent years when I realized that I can get more done for homeless. I can get more done for an orphanage. I can get more done with a big crowd that's invited me to do something with them, okay, with Bambi.
How about that? To use your celebrity for good.
Yeah, I can get more done.
You came from this like poverty-stricken upbringing, and what you devoted your life to is helping other people less fortunate.
I hope so,
Donnie. You're a hero.
And Bambi has done it.
We don't mean to embarrass you, but you're a hero in more ways than one. A pop culture hero and a hero to people in need. So bless your heart.
Now, can you say the Bambi line one more time?
You make Gilbert happy.
Oh, okay. How about this one now? Flower, flower. Now here comes Supper. That's flower.
Thank you, Donnie.
Donnie, happy birthday. This was wonderful. We appreciate you taking the time to do this. Our listeners are going to love hearing from you.
Thank you, guys. Do something good for somebody.
Because, like, our listeners love the old monster movies, and they love the old Disney films.
Let me share with you a close.
Sure. Go ahead.
And then
tell us how fans can get in touch with you or reach out or help your charities or anything like that.
Yeah, just a Brigadoon. I lost this ranch to the Enron business years ago. Brigadoon Ranch, one word, Brigadoon Ranch at Yahoo.com. But let me share something with a real brief closure. Once in a while, if they've asked me, come and help us raise some money for this, and they use the Bambi. And Disney loves this. They use the Bambi as the entree, and here we are, and it's a whole lot of people, and we have a lot of fun. And if the contributions are not going like the phone bank says they wanted to go, they give me the mic, and I've changed character. Now, this is the son of Frankenstein. Get your checkbooks out.
you are using your celebrity and your history to change the world for the better.
I hope a little bit.
Donnie, we have great respect for you. We're so glad that we finally got a hold of you after all this time.
So your parents taught you well, Donnie.
And thanks for your service, too.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This has been a treat.
Okay, so people can get a hold of you at Brigadoon Ranch at Yahoo.com.
Yes, sir.
And we hope we see you out there on the circuit. Thank you for the time. Thanks for all you've done for people.
A lot of fun.
And for the country.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Drip, drip, drop, little April shower, feeding the tune as you follow all around. Drip, drip, drop, little April shower, what can compare with your beautiful sound? Beautiful sound, beautiful sound. Drip, drop, drip, drop.
Drip, drip, drop, when the sky is cloudy, your pretty music will brighten the day. Drip, drip, drop, when the sky is cloudy, you come along with a song right.